heaven. Amen. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm already there. I'm not waiting to get it. I got it. Amen. Yes. Amen. I have inherited eternal life already. I'm not waiting till my father dies. He ain't never going to die. So I've already inherited it. Amen. Joint heirs with Christ, his son. I'm his son too. Amen. And so tonight in Ephesians talks a lot about that. But tonight in chapter 2, now, I'm going to read a lot of that chapter, so I'm going to read and holler. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing to start with to save time. But I am going to read the first two verses, if you will. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now we're going to start there, and I'm going to exegete, that's the fancy word, this passage of Scripture, if you'll allow me to do that. And I'll try not to keep you long. I know we all got peanut butter banana sandwiches waiting at the house and a good cold glass of milk. And so I know you're ready. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not going to preach it, but I have preached a sermon out of this called I See Dead People. I See Dead People. You know, there's a movie out years ago, it's called The Sixth Sense or Seventh Sense or Didn't Have No Sense or something. And in that, there was a little boy that he was scared to death and his mama thought he was crazy and all this stuff, you know. And but he was talking to this, I don't know if he was a counselor or psychiatrist, whatever. But the little boy told him, he said, finally he told him, the problem is, I see dead people. And he said, the problem is, they don't know they're dead. And they want me to help them. That sounds crazy, don't it? But if we read this passage of Scripture right here, we see dead people. And the problem is, they don't even know they're dead. And another problem is, they need us to help them. So look at that again. He said, and you had to be quickened who were what? Dead. You didn't even know you was dead. You were spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. Now, I'm going to show you nine people in this passage of Scripture. Nine different kind of people here. So let's go quickly. Number one, I showed you the dead people. They're dead spiritually. They must be born again. You can't understand spiritual things if you're dead spiritually. Amen. And that's why you don't want a pastor who's not been born again. He can't teach you anything. He's dead too. Dead people can't teach each other anything. Amen. And then number two, I want you to notice this. He said in verse number two, he says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I see Satan led people. He said, according in time past, you followed the prince of the power of the air. You walked according to the course of this world, which is run by who? Satan. I see satanic-led people. Every day I see satanic-led people. I used to be one of them myself. They don't know they're satanically led. They think they're intellectually led. They think they're spiritually led. Oprah says she's spiritual, but she's not saved. And she is spiritual. Everybody is in one way or another. Either you're following the Lord Jesus Christ or you're following the prince of this world who is Satan. So you are satanic led. No man lives unto himself. No man dies to himself. You're a spiritual being. You're going to follow somebody. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I see dead people who are following Satan and they don't even know that they're following Satan. And I'm talking about some good people. Some good people. They pay their bills. They go to work every day. They vote honestly. They tell you the truth. You can lay a $100 bill down here, turn out the lights, leave it for an hour. They would never touch it. They're good people, but they're not saved people. They are spiritually dead and spiritually blind. They cannot understand spiritual things, so they are easily led astray by the god of this world, Satan himself. We were satanic led. I know that, boy, that looks like shock some of you, but you were too. Amen. You don't have to be a drunk to be satanic led. You don't have to be a drug addict. It's just according to the course of this world. That's what most of the world is doing. Jesus said, wide is the gate to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. That's the course of this world. Number three, I want you to notice this. Look at verse 2 again, the last part of that verse. He said, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I see disobedient people in this passage of Scripture. And I was disobedient. Amen? Now, they're dead, they're satanic led, and they're disobedient to God. And again, even the good people, not only the drug addicts, the drunks, the killers, the murderers, the rapists, the liars, the thieves, but good people who are dead spiritually don't know any better. They're following the prince of the power bearer. They're following the way of this world. So therefore, they're disobedient to God because they've not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Adam didn't get cast out of the garden because he smoked cigarettes or drank liquor or cussed. He got cast out of the garden because he was disobedient to God in one area. Disobedience got him cast out. And I look around this world, the world is full of dead spiritually, satanically influenced by this world, the flesh, and the devil, and they are disobedient to God and the Word of God and the things of God and the commandments of God. And if you don't believe it, try to put the Ten Commandments up in the schoolyard now. And good people who pay their bills, they go to work every day, they raise their children well, they're educated, they're cultured, and they'll bite your head off for something like that. Bring up the name of Jesus in a public meeting, in a public place now. They're dead spiritually, they're satanically led, and they are disobedient people to the Word of God and the way of God. And they're full of pride and arrogance about it too. And then look at verse 3. In verse 3 he says, among whom also we all had our conversation. Now that doesn't mean speaking there. In that passage of Scripture, this is old English. You've got to remember, you are known by your talk. You walk and you talk, same thing. He's talking about your lifestyle, okay? Among whom also we all had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh. There's lustful people right there. Lustful. Now, we're all adults in this room. Most of us are older adults. And I can say things I wouldn't say with a bunch of kids in here. But would you agree with me? We probably live in the most lustful time in America. I'm talking about carnal lust. I'm not talking about lust for your new car or your house. They want your wife. They want your husband. They want your children. Yeah. Lustful. Everything you turn on TV now is a lustful television program. You know, the smartest people that started the TV network were the ones that started these new ones, but they only show old stuff. Black and white. Who would ever think that you could have a TV station that only showed black and white in the day that we live in and it be a success? But those are the most successful. MeTV, Antenna TV, things like that. They show Ozzy and Harriet. They show what was that guy that all those shows, you know, all them old what? Leave It to Beaver, things like that. Yeah, that would be yours, wouldn't it? And Andy Griffith. Amen. And just all kind of old game shows and stuff in black and white. And I'm sure if they went to some kind of meeting of great producers, those producers would have said, that'll never sell. But it's selling like hotcakes. If it wasn't, there wouldn't be four or five channels now.
Right.
You know why? They're targeting the older people like you and I. And we were raised different than the new ones are. And we wasn't raised in a lustful way. And my family had four brothers and four sisters, and we were taught that little girls was made of sugar and spice and everything nice, and you don't touch them, and you don't say bad words to them, and you don't hit them, or we'll beat the devil out of you. And you don't cuss around them little girls, you don't say bad words around them little girls. How many of y'all was raised like that? And boys was made out of puppy dog snails and puppy dog tails and all that stuff. Come on in, sit down. You ain't interrupting nothing. I preach at nurse home jail. You can't interrupt me. Listen. Now listen to me. If I ask you to raise your hand, now I know boys brag and they lie about girls and stuff when they're younger. We did. We lied. You know. We're scared to death of them. I'm scared to death of a girl. I was. I'm still kind of scared of you. I was raised that way. Amen. Amen. And these guys talk about how great Romeos they were. They lying to you. That, all that stuff didn't happen. Amen. My first real date, I was 17. That was my first real date. And it was that girl right in there. And I turned 18 that year. And I was scared to death of her. You know there's a verse in the Bible that says that women are to remain silent in church. And now we know why. Here's what I was afraid of. I was afraid if I touched her, she'd break. Really, I was afraid if I touched her, she'd break. Y'all still with me? But we live in a lustful generation now, in a lustful time in this country and the whole world, that it's all about sex. There ain't no love no more. There's no affection. There's no more courting or things like that. It's all about sex. Raw, ugly sex. The whole thing. You can't only turn on TV without hearing it, without seeing it. And the things they show on TV now. Sometimes you'll turn something on and you say, well, that looks pretty good. Start watching for a few minutes. Then all of a sudden, either they're using God's name or somebody done dropped their britches. Yeah. It's awful. And I see lustful people. And these lustful people, they are carnally minded and... I'm going to say this. She's recording this or playing it, whatever. But I'm going to say it anyway. The day that they allowed homosexual men to be Boy Scout leaders, I'm scared of perverts.
Yeah.
I'm scared of pedophiles. Now, I'm not for me, but I am for children.
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
Yeah, right.
And Target's already proved you shouldn't let a 6 foot, 300-pound man with a dress and lipstick on go in the women's bathroom.
Right.
It's already been proven at Target. Yeah. But the reason it's that way is we live in a lustful time. And I see them right here. It says that. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's wrathful people. Children of wrath. Now, God, listen, God will, you'll reap what you sow. If you're wrathful, God will be wrathful. Amen? That's why you're supposed to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Everywhere I ever had a job, they would always have a little place on there. What do you think you would make a good employee here? And I always put on there, I'm going to do everything as unto the Lord. That means I'm not going to treat people wrong. I'm going to do them right. And everywhere I ever went, I was successful, and especially in sales. And they always asked me, how are you such a good salesman? I said, because I do unto others the way I'd have them do unto me. I'm not going to cheat you. I'm not going to overcharge you. I'm not going to say something you don't need. And listen, people like that. Because the day that we live in, people are liars and thieves and crooks. And because of that, the wrath of God is on a lot of people.
Amen.
And sometimes you wonder, you know, why are they going through all that? And it's not always, but a lot of times if you check their life, they're only reaping what they sowed. You hurt people, you'll get hurt. You will, with your tongue or your hands or your life, whatever. You'll get hurt. And so I see that kind of people. Now look at verse 4. I like this. Now, they were spiritually dead. They were satanically led. They were disobedient. They were lustful. They were wrathful. But look at verse 4. But God, comma. In spite of all that, but God. Look at the rest of it. Who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. God stepped in. We were dead. We were satanic led. We were disobedient. We were lustful. And we were wrathful. But God sent somebody by one day with the good news that Jesus saves. But God intervened in our life. But God interrupted our life. And when you put God in the picture, all the other stuff has to go out. So look at the rest of it now. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, as he says in verse 1. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened together, us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. You know what that means, quickened together? That means alive. And now he's made you alive, and he's put you together into the family of God, and the grace of God, and the way of God. But God stepped in and changed you, and made you alive when you were dead. He took away the satanic lead. He took away the disobedience. He took away the lustful. He took away the wrathful. And he intervened in our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
I used to tell people I didn't know, I didn't care, and I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. Now, I always wanted to know the truth. But I didn't want to know about God. I didn't think God had anything to do with it. I always wanted to know the truth, but I didn't know enough about Jesus to know that he had anything to do with it. But God interrupted my life, put people in my life to give me the good news and tell me whether I want to hear it or not, that I didn't have to be dead and I didn't have to be satanic led and I didn't have to be disobedient and I didn't have to be lustful and I didn't have to be wrathful, that God could do something about it. And he interrupted my life and he gave me the opportunity. But when God comes in, the whole picture changes.
Amen.
You ever thought about this, Brother Billy? We see people walking down the road, we'll say, oh, drunk. Why don't he straighten up? Oh, dope head, why don't he straighten up? Sorry, gal, oh, hussy, why don't she straighten up? She ought to be at home taking care of those kids. He ought to be working a job paying the bills for those kids. And listen, what we forget is they're dead, they're blind, they're misled, they're lustful, they're disobedient, they're living under the wrath of God, but God put us in the picture that we might would tell them there's a better way.
Amen.
But God. I like that. But God. Now, I want you to see what happens. Look at verse 5. In verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened together with us in Christ Jesus, by grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together. That's what you do with dead people. You raise them up. And has raised them up together and has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as God's concerned, all of us are already in heaven. They're saved by the grace of God because God got in on it, see. It ain't I'm waiting to be saved. I'm already saved. It's not I'm waiting to have eternal life. I already have eternal life. It's not that I'm waiting to be adopted by God. I'm already adopted by God. It's not that I'm waiting to inherit the things of God. I've already inherited the things of God. As far as God sees me and you as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're already seated in heaven in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Together. Together. I always tell people, if you don't like to go to church with me, you better not go to heaven. There's a whole bunch of people just like me up there. Amen. There's a bunch of people up there just like us in heaven. If you don't like us now, you better not go to heaven. There's going to be billions of us. Amen. Can you imagine that? Boy, they tell that joke, you know, and I know it's a bad joke, but I'm telling it anyway. So this guy died and he went to heaven, you know, and this don't happen. There is no St. Peter at the gate. You just wake up in glory. Nobody lets you in. You just wake up there. Amen. But the story goes, he got to the gate and St. Peter led him in, you know, and he was giving him a tour. He was walking him around heaven and he walked him over here in this one big old corner, and there's people sitting over there real reserved, you know, and singing the hymns real reserved. He says, that's the Presbyterians. All the Presbyterians go over there. Then he walked them a little bit farther, you know, and there was these, they was real reserved and dressed real good, you know. And they was letting people sing to them. He said, that's the Methodists. That's the Methodists there. And went on a little bit farther, you know, and had this guy in a gown, you know, and this pointy hat. He said, Church of England, the Anglican Church right there. He said, now I want you to be real quiet. Be real quiet. I'm going to show you somebody. So they climbed up this hill, looked over here, and there's people running around shouting and hollering and crying and waving their heads and crying. Woo! And he said, be real quiet. He said, who is this? He said, that's the Baptists. They think they're the only ones up here. Amen. That, by the way, that's the hill I want to be on. Amen. I won't be over in that valley. Amen. But he says, listen. He says that he's already seated us in heavenly places. All right, now look at verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, he's going to get glory for saving us and taking us to heaven. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We ain't got nothing to brag about. Jesus did all the work, amen. But I want you to notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's the new creature. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto what? Good works, which he had before ordained that we should walk in. Now, there's some working people up there. In that passage of Scripture, there's working people. Now, I know, and boy, Baptists love verse 8 and 9. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, this is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've got nothing to brag about. But then, if it has nothing, if we don't have to do any work, why does he mention the next verse? He says, we're his workmanship. He remade us.
Amen. Yeah.
And he's still working on me, by the way. Be patient. Create in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Now, I don't care what any theologian says, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, African, Methodist, Episcopalian, AME, Zion, whoever. I don't care what they say. If you are saved, good works will come out of you.
Amen.
I can hear that guy sitting down there at the bar right now drinking the beer, says he's a Baptist church member. I can't believe that Baptist said that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He created you after you got saved unto good works, meaning he's going to guide you into good works. He's doing the work through you because he's recreated you. He's made you a new creature. And James even goes so far to say, you have faith. But even the devils believe and they tremble. He said, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. Because faith without works is dead. I know we like to listen to television. They said amen in there on that, didn't they? Would you close that door? I know we like to watch television. That little pretty preacher, you know, he'd never mention this. He'd never say anything like this. I know we want to think that old Brother Joe down there, he runs a liquor store, but he's a member over at the Methodist Church. He's been in good standing for 30 years. He pays his tithes. He's on the deacon board, you know. So he runs the liquor store. I know we like to think of old sister so-and-so. She made a profession 30 years ago and ain't darkened the doors of the church since then. Won't even get baptized. Won't join the church. Nothing's changed in her life. But then when she died, we want to say, she was a good Christian. She's in heaven. Could it be they're still over there with the dead people? Could it be they're still over there with the satanic-led people? Could it be they're still over there with the disobedient people? Could it be they're still over there with the lustful people? I mean, she ain't been married but 5 times or 10 times, and the man she's living with now ain't even her husband. Oh, man, got quiet on that one, didn't he? Could it be they're still over there with those wrathful people? I mean, you can't be around them long. If you say much, they're going to get mad at you and want to fight. But they made a profession of faith. They said they got saved. They prayed the ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on Christ. Confess it with your mouth. Well, this right here says that if they did, they were a workmanship of Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained. He already had a plan for them and their works in their life. Now, I'm Baptist. I'm 100% Baptist. I wasn't born Baptist, but when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. You can't change my mind. I've studied all the denominations. I know what they all believe. I know who started them. I can tell you the names of the people that started all the denominations except the Baptist Church. Nobody started it. There's no originator. You won't find in a history book anywhere that so-and-so started the Baptist Church. We have the same faith delivered unto the saints that comes out of this book. This is our doctrinal book. This is our book of prayer. This is our book of standards and conduct. This is everything right here. And that's the New Testament church. I'm Baptist. Don't you misunderstand me. You can't be saved by works. But if you are saved, you ought to be in the crowd that does work for God. I know it's wrong to worry. We shouldn't worry. I worry though. Lord, forgive me, I worry. I worry about my kids. I worry about my grandkids. I worry about church members. I do. And I wonder, Lord, are they really saved? I mean, I look at that apple tree and there's some apples. And I look at that pear tree and there's some pears. And the blackberries are blooming. Pretty soon there's going to be some blackberries. If you don't like blackberries, you ain't going to heaven. There's blackberries in heaven. If it ain't in there, we need to write it in there. Amen? I love blackberries. I love strawberries. I look at strawberries, there's strawberries. But I look at some Christians and I see no Christ. I see no Christ. I do see them, they kind of smell like the dead. They kind of act like they're misled. I watch them, they're disobedient. A lot of them ruin their family because they're lustful. Some of them don't have any friends because they're wrathful. But wait a minute. It says, but God, when He stepped in, that changed. So I wonder, has He stepped in now? Or did they just say He stepped in? Maybe they got caught being lustful and they're afraid they're going to lose their spouse, so they make a profession of faith. Maybe they were disobedient to the law and they're afraid they're going to go to jail. They ain't went to court yet, so let's get on the altar and join the church and maybe God will bail us out. Y'all ain't never thought about stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
You go to them and you say, why don't you come to church? Well, Pastor, I just don't have time. You don't have time? When God raised you from the dead? Jesus died on the cross so you could have spiritual life and never die and live forever and live where God lives and have heaven and everything there and already have your seat reserved there and you don't like to go to church? And by the way, that's the least work we do is go to church. That's the easiest part of the Christian life we have is just show up at church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the easiest part of the Christian life, Brother Tom. And what's there he said, was it one of the prophets, I can't remember, Jeremiah, one of them said, if the footman tire you, what's the horseman going to do? If you can't fight the little footman of joining the church and being faithful, what's going to happen when the real temptation comes around? Could it be they're still dead and they just don't know it? But they've made a profession and they think that fixed it all. Could it be? Now, let's go Let's go to verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision. In other words, the Gentile and the Jew calls us, the Jew calls us uncircumcised, because he is circumcised. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Of all the things that pertain to Israel, we were aliens. And strangers from the covenants of those promises to David, to Moses, to Joseph. Having no hope and without God in the world. Here it is again. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh, that means close, by the blood of Jesus. Now I see Jesus people.
Amen.
Jesus people. Amen. Jesus people. We're supposed to be Jesus people. I'm Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. But I'd rather be thought of as a Jesus people than I would Baptist.
Amen.
Because I know some sorry Baptists. I know some sorry. If you don't want to know sorry Baptists, don't get in the ministry. I'll tell you that right now. I know some sorry Baptists.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says counting on an unfaithful man is like a foot out of joint and a broken tooth. That's what it says. And I know some broken tooth and foot out of joint Baptists. You can't count on them. They won't carry you through. You'll starve to death if you're waiting on them to do something. But Jesus people. Now you count on Jesus people. Yes, sir. They've been with the Savior. They've been regenerated. They've been born again. They are no longer dead. They're alive. And you can tell it spiritually. And by the way, you don't have to talk to somebody long to know they're alive spiritually.
Amen.
You don't have to talk to somebody long to know they're followers of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. They're no longer led by the devil. They're following Jesus Christ. So they're not disobedient. And they're not lustful. And they're not wrathful. Because now they're Jesus people. And you know what he said? He said, be ye followers of me. Now follow him. Now, his path might not be somebody else's path. So if they go their path, I'm staying with him.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, you can change everything in church you want to. You can change the music. You can change the looks. You can change the way it's done. But I'm following him, so me and you will probably part. No matter how much I love you.
Yes,
I'm going to go by him.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm a Jesus people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. When I first got saved and I surrendered to preach, I was in my 25 by this time, and got saved at 23. And I'm working at Duke Power out there at the nuclear plant. And for those that live close to it, you probably might ought to move. I helped pull the wire through there, and it ain't real good, okay? There's a lot of things we didn't report. We reported our lead man, but he didn't report any farther than that. But anyway, so I worked out there. And construction people are rough people, ain't they? Yeah. Construction people are rough people. Not you, Rick. You're an exception, okay? You're a pussycat, okay? But construction people, I mean, if you're going to be a Christian and a new Christian and one that's just surrendered to preach, that's a trial by fire working with those people. I was taunted every day. I was made fun of every day. And I wasn't used to that. Because I come from a rough crowd. And I probably couldn't whoop you, but I knew people that could that liked me, and they would. Yeah. Yeah, I knew a lot of them like that. All I had to say is, will you? They'd say, where you want done? They liked me. And so I worked with that crowd, and every day they make fun of me. Well, this one old boy, he come in. I've told this story before. It's been a long time. But different Mondays he would come in. And one Monday he'd come in. He'd say, boy, man, you ought to be at church yesterday. Because we're taking a break. We're all sitting around, you know, in the shade somewhere. And he'd tell me, he said, you ought to be at church.
And he went to the Church of God Prophecy on, I think it's Cawthon Street. And he said, I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. He said, they got to singing and the Holy Ghost come down. And they have a way of saying Holy Ghost that I can't, you know. And he come over me. And I jump up and I run round around church and I run out the door and I run round around the building and I run back in, I fall on the floor, passed out. I done heard this so many times. Here's all these sinners sitting around me listening to this stuff. I've been trying to witness. He never witnessed anybody. One week he was saved, another week he was lost. Any way I figured it, when he wanted to get drunk, He was lost, and then he'd go back to church and get saved again. You know, just depending on what weekend it was. And finally, he done told these stories, bad and good. Other times he'd tell about going to get drunk, you know. And so he tells that story, and I'm fine. I said, what did the preacher preach on? He said, I don't know. I said, what scripture did he use? He said, I don't know. I was passed out. I said, did anybody get saved because of what you did? He said, I don't know. I don't think so. I said, God wasn't in what you did. God didn't do that. You did that. You was in the flesh and you did that. If God had told you to do that, something good would have come out of it and it would have resulted from the Word of God, not singing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And there's one old boy, old hippie pothead. He looked over there, there was about 15 of us sitting there, you know, in that ditch trying to cool off in July, so hot. And he looked over at this boy sitting beside him. He said, wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? Here I am stuck in this ditch with a Jesus freak pointing at me and a religious nut. And later on, this boy said, did he offend you when he called you a Jesus freak? I said, that's probably the best compliment I've had in a long time, sitting beside that religious nut. Amen? I like being called Jesus people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, in verse 11 through 13, he said, for he is our peace. Verse 14, he says, for he is our peace who has made us both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Have abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's making us enemies, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. So, making peace. There it is. There it is. Now, that's nine different kinds of people. And I see them all the time. And I've been one at one time or another, probably every one of them. But thank God, if you ever get on that end one and you become Jesus people, you'll never go back up that to the beginning. Amen? Because he's removed the enmity between us and God, and now we are one. And he's removed the enmity, that enemy feeling, between us and unbelievers, and now believers, and now we're one with other believers. You say, I don't have a problem. You might go to a Pentecostal church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, but if you know Jesus, me and you ain't got no problems.
Amen.
Now, we don't agree on a lot of things, but we agree on Jesus. And there used to be, when I worked in shipping and receiving for 6 years, there was a Church of God preacher that drove a tractor-trailer truck in there every day, and I would load his stuff. And he told me one day, he said, I asked for you to do this. I said, why? He said, because I heard you're a believer and I'm a believer. He said, and I pastor a little Church of God over here in Gastonia. And he said, I know me and you don't agree on everything. You're Baptist, I'm Church of God. He said, but I love Jesus and I believe you do too.
Amen.
We'll get all the other stuff straightened out when we get to heaven. That's why they got a river in heaven to baptize them Methodists. And Presbyterians and Episcopalians and everybody else. Nine different kinds of people in the Scripture. And we have been every one of them. I just want to thank God that one day, but God.
Thank you, Father.
That little girl walked up the sidewalk at my house, right over here, my wife's best friend. Her handmaiden or whatever you call it in the wedding, the maid of honor in the wedding. And she'd gotten saved. Her name was Patty. And you know what she said? I was standing out there on the sidewalk. I needed to put a shirt on. I needed to put some long breeches on. I needed a haircut. I needed to get rid of that beer in my hand. And she walked up. She said, I want to invite you to church. I said, what? I want to invite you to church. I said, you don't go to church, and you know I don't do church. She said, yeah, but I got saved. And she told me some things. I don't remember everything she said, but I remember this. She said, if you'll just come down there at Eastside Baptist Church, that preacher preaches how to be saved. He'll tell you how to be saved. And something happened to me that day, and he began to draw me and draw me. And I was, hey, I was dead. I was lustful. I was disobedient. I was everything he named me. But then after 3 years and going back about five times, I walked down that aisle. And I gave my heart, my life, my mind, everything to Jesus. And I became a Jesus people. And I ain't never been the same. And you never will be the same. And you will produce good works. There'll be some good come out of you because there wasn't nothing good in you before. But now there's something good living down in your soul. And he'll produce the good through you. And you'll be a Jesus people.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your loving.